Unit 7. Lending an Ear to Numbers. Section 1. Listening Comprehension. 1. Listen to the following passages and then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
1. One of the many little annoyances of life in a crowded city such as London's suburb of Haringey will be particularly unhappy. Those who own cars with high carbon dioxide emissions will see their parking charges rise almost fourfold, from £25 a year to £90. A similar plan was enacted in Richmond, a wealthy western fringe of the city, in March. There, the price of parking a dirty car rose threefold, with even stiffer penalties for those who own more than one vehicle.
2. Both Germany and France are heading for budget deficits of nearly 4% of GDP. Social security deficits are out of control. The shortfall is 10.6 billion euro in 2003 and 14.1 billion in 2004. Unless changes are made, social security payments could rise from over 45% of pay to 54% in 2030, by some estimates.
3. Today, only 35% of Germans believe that comprehensive social protection is possible without high contributions, down from 53% a decade ago. And as many as 70% agree that reforms are necessary. In France, a recent poll suggested that 51% of French people are in favor of the government continuing with reform.
4. Mobile telephony is finally taking off in India. Some 5 million new users have signed up since March. There are now over 17 million subscribers. Add to this around 3.5 million subscribers to a limited mobile service provided by fixed line operators that works within a restricted area, usually a large city, and the total is even more impressive.
5. Price competition has also hurt profits. Mobile operators have made combined losses of 117 billion rupees, or $2.6 billion, since the launch of Limited Mobile. Without this competition, they would have made a profit of 67 billion rupees.
6. U.S. inspectors have tested fewer than 30,000 of the roughly 300 million animals slaughtered in the past 9 years, and they get results days or weeks later. But the American system was never intended to keep sick animals from reaching the public.
7. On Thursday, an American soldier died in a suicide truck bombing, and mass resignations almost halved the 1st Battalion of the new Iraqi Army.
8. About 350 passengers were screened for questioning Wednesday afternoon as they prepared to board Air France Flight 68, which had been scheduled to fly out at 7 p.m.
9. In June 2002, a quake measuring at 6.3 magnitude hit northern Iran, killing at least 229 people and injuring more than 1,000. About 35,000 people were killed in 1990 when earthquakes of up to 7.7 magnitude hit the northwest of Iran. Tehran was hit by a 7.0 magnitude quake in 1830.
10. Global freshwater consumption rose sixfold between 1900 and 1995, more than twice the rate of population growth. About one-third of the world's population already lives in countries considered to be water-stressed, that is, where consumption exceeds 10% of total supply. If present trends continue, 2 out of every 3 people on Earth will live in that condition by 2025. 2. Choose the one answer that best fits the meaning of the statement you have heard.
1. Over the last century, the primary public need addressed by U.S. agriculture has been food and fiber production. The major focus of agricultural research, in turn, has been on enhancing agricultural productivity. The success of that endeavor has been substantial, as demonstrated by major productivity gains, such as the tripling of corn yields over the last 50 years.
Two. Jackson is one of many planners and development specialists working to further the revival of Belfast. The partnership is distributing $70 million in grants from the European Union. Their efforts are impressive, but the lingering effects of the old days of violence keep holding the city back.
Three. The European Union has also contributed a significant share of aid. Northern Ireland, even while it is enduring a loss of industrial jobs, enjoys a relatively low 5.6% unemployment rate. But now, the first wave of aid reductions is coming. The European Union has been providing $1.6 billion for the 2001 to 2006 period. But after that, it warns, the money will be greatly reduced as the EU's attention shifts to new Eastern members.
4. Europe is underinvesting in R&D to the tune of 100 billion euro. Or $120 billion per year compared with the United States. It is estimated that between 1990 and 1996, American taxpayers forked out $140 billion on R&D compared with $70 billion coughed up in Europe. Half of the $140 billion of the public money spent on R&D in America was for defense research.
5. The Paris-based Lafarge Group, the world leader in construction materials, spends a paltry 1% of sales on corporate research and development. But with sales of 14.6 billion euros in 2002, that still means Lafarge has close on 150 million euros a year to spend on learning how to crush stones and put them back together.
6. So far this year, some 2.5 million hectares, 6 million acres, of North American forests have been consumed by fire, and several fires are still blazing in the west of the continent. The United States Forest Service reckons it will spend around $900 million in 2003 on putting fires out, and the damage such fires have caused probably cost several times that figure.
7. A long drought, high winds, and extraordinarily high temperatures have also created tinderbox conditions in Europe, where fires have destroyed at least 500,000 hectares of forest and killed more than 30 people.
8. Petrol burns best with an air-to-fuel ratio of around 14 to 1. This means that for every kilogram of fuel burnt, all of the oxygen in 14 kilograms of air will be consumed. Ethanol, though, requires an air-to-fuel ratio of 9 to 1. The new technology works by sniffing the amount of oxygen in a car's exhaust. If too much or too little of the gas is sensed, it indicates that the fuel is burning in a less than optimal way, and thus that the air-to-fuel ratio is wrong. A signal is then sent to the engine to tweak the ratio appropriately.
9. Brazil has a history of promoting ethanol as a fuel. In the 1980s, the government encouraged it in a misguided attempt to subsidize sugar farmers, since the main source of ethanol is fermented sugar, and cut oil imports. At the height of this policy, almost 80% of cars produced in Brazil ran on pure ethanol.
Ten. Maize-based E85 fuel, an 85% ethanol-petrol mixture, is already on sale in parts of America. In July, the National Ethanol Vehicle Coalition launched a project to promote greater use of E85 in Wisconsin, Missouri, Colorado, Minnesota, Michigan, and Illinois. The coalition estimates that the market for E85 is now about 40 million liters a year. Better fermentation techniques, based on biotechnology, may multiply that many times. 2. Reading. Sustaining Our Future. Prompt. This piece is taken from UN Secretary General Kofi Annan's Millennium Report. We, the people, its focus is on one of the daunting tasks humankind has to face, sustainable development. The speech equates the task for sustainable development with two others written in the UN Charter half a century ago, freedom from want and freedom from fear, to highlight its importance. The author points out the dangers of environmental degradation and the urgent need for worlds to take up action to save our world. The founders of the United Nations set out, in the words of the Charter, to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. Above all, freedom from want and freedom from fear. In 1945, they could not have anticipated, however, the urgent need we face today to realize yet a third, the freedom of future generations to sustain their lives on this planet. We are failing to provide that freedom. On the contrary, we have been plundering our children's future heritage to pay for environmentally unsustainable practices in the present. The natural environment performs for us, free of charge, basic services without which our species could not survive. The ozone layer screens out ultraviolet rays from the sun that harm people, animals, and plants. Ecosystems help purify the air we breathe and the water we drink. They convert wastes into resources and reduce atmospheric carbon levels that would otherwise contribute to global warming. Biodiversity provides a bountiful store of medicines and food products, and it maintains genetic variety that reduces vulnerability to pests and diseases. But we are degrading, and in some cases destroying, the ability of the environment to continue providing these life-sustaining services for us. During the past 100 years, the natural environment has borne the stresses imposed by a 4-fold increase in human numbers and an 18-fold growth in world economic output. With world population projected to increase to nearly 9 billion by 2050, from the current 6 billion, the potential for doing irreparable environmental harm is obvious. One of two jobs worldwide, in agriculture, forestry and fisheries, depends directly on the sustainability of ecosystems. Even more important, so does the planet's health and our own. Environmental sustainability is everybody's challenge. In the rich countries, the byproducts of industrial and agribusiness production poison soils and waterways. In the developing countries, massive deforestation, harmful farming practices, and uncontrolled urbanization are major causes of environmental degradation. Carbon dioxide emissions are widely believed to be a major source of global climate change, and the burning of fossil fuels is their main source. The 1/5 of the world's population living in the industrialized countries accounts for nearly 60% of the world's total consumption of energy. But the developing world's share is rising rapidly. Our goal must be to meet the economic needs of the present without compromising the ability of the planet to provide for the needs of future generations. We have made progress since 1972, when the United Nations convened the first global conference ever to address environmental issues. That conference stimulated the creation of environmental ministries throughout the world, established the United Nations Environment Program, and led to a vast increase in the number of civil society organizations promoting environmental concerns. 20 years later, the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development provided the foundations for agreements on climate change, forests, and biodiversity. It adopted an indicative policy framework intended to help achieve the goal of sustainable development in rich and poor countries alike. Perhaps the single most successful international environmental agreement to date has been the Montreal Protocol, in which states accepted the need to phase out the use of ozone-depleting substances. Nevertheless, we must face up to an inescapable reality. The challenges of sustainability simply overwhelm the adequacy of our responses. With some honorable exceptions, our responses are too few, too little, and too late.